Before we start, I just want us to say another prayer. So let's just bow our head. Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And even as was prayed earlier on this morning, we pray that any stronghold or anything that may be a distraction or may argue with the word of God in our hearts today, we thank you, Lord, because it's pulled down in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you here because, Holy Spirit, you are talking to every one of us, and you're here to give a word to every single individual. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you translate the word of God in the way that everyone understands and needs to hear for whatever they're going through. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So we're still looking at the series, New Creation. And I have four main points that I wanted to discuss with us this morning. The first point is, I think as Christians, we need to know that we are, when we talk about new creation, we need to know that we are justified through faith in Christ. So that's the first thing. The second point also is, once we enter into new creation, then we know that we are married to Christ. So that's another point I'll discuss. And then the third one, where Pastor Benson was talking about last week, he talked about speaking in tongues and the power of speaking in tongues, and that is available to all of us, and he prayed for us. The third point I have here is, our salvation should produce spiritual growth. And the last point as well, number four, is we need to also know that God has supplied all we need to live a godly life. So going back to the first point, so when we talk about we are a new creation in Christ, the first thing that we need to know is that we are a new creation in Christ, not because, if I use myself as an example, I was born, when I say born in the church, not physically born in the church, you know what I'm saying, but I am of West African descent, and in West Africa, I think it's either two things. It's either everybody's a Muslim or everybody's a Christian. So I was born into the Christian faith. The way my life looked is when I was like five, my mom would take me to church. We went to CSE church. We went to midweek service on Tuesday. We went to church on Friday. And then it got a little bit tough for me when I got into secondary school. Because you know when you go to secondary school and you're with your friends, everybody's talking about the latest music that they listen to, the latest thing. And then when it comes to me, what did you do with your weekend? I went to the pastor's house. So on Saturdays, I was in the pastor's house. On Sundays, I was in the pastor's house. Back to school on Monday. So I remember one time, it was so bad. And again, kids, don't do this. This is very wrong, what I did, okay? So, you know, the peer pressure when you're young, like everyone's talking about what they did and everything. And so there was this party that everybody in school was gonna go to. And my mom, she just believed in church, 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 and even all my clothes. Do you know all these like suits that they wear? As a child, those were the outfits I had, suits. I didn't even have like jeans or the trendy, I had suits. So back then, for those of us, I'm not that old, let me not say the number because I might upset some people here who are that age. But I'm still young, you know. So back in London, you used to be able to buy a week bus pass for £4. Can you believe that? A week bus pass for £4. So my mom would give me £5. So when I buy the bus pass for £4, I would save the £1. And I saved the £1 for about 2 months so that I could buy a nice top and a nice trouser to wear to this party at school. So now I had the outfit and everything, and at the time my stepsister was living with me. You know, I had worn the clothes, I told the stepsister how I'm gonna like turn up, you know, to that club, because it was like a club. And I'd never been to a club before. So I said, everything is set, the outfit is set, you know, the date is set, the hair is set. Is now to tell, what story am I gonna tell my mom? Okay, so I went to my mom, And God, thank God for his mercy. God has forgiven me. And I told my mom that, because it was a Catholic school, that I'm going to a friend's confirmation, that we have to go for, you know, we have to go to the service and everything. I'll sleep at her house. And guess what? The woman ruined my plan. She said, no, I can't go. So that's how I lived my life, my teenage life, just not being able to go out with friends. So when it came to university, do you think I went to university from home or do you think I stayed on campus? I stayed on campus. And that was when I got my independence. And what I'm just trying to say here is, this story is leading somewhere. When I got to university, that's when I really knew whether I was living this life of new creation or not. Because I was going to church, doing all these things, because my mom compelled me to. But now I'm in university, no one can see what I'm doing. No one can see what I'm wearing. Now is the test. And I remember I saw so many Christians like going to the club, drinking. I was like, oh, my Christian sisters. And I was like, and then I, you know, the devil will start to make you think that I'm weird. Come on, they're Christians as well. There's nothing, you're in university. God will allow you. God is not wicked. God will allow you to just have some fun. As long as you just stand in the club, you're not going to do anything. You're not going to drink, you know. So there were so many temptations. But that's when I really knew if I was really, I don't think I'm perfect, but if I really love God. And because I made up my mind, I put my foot down that, I'm not going to lie before you guys, I went to a club by mistake. You probably say, how can you go to a club by mistake? I did. My friend told me that it was Afro-Caribbean society gathering or whatever. But when I got there, I actually saw that it was a club. So I went to a club by accident. But after that in university, I just stayed to myself and everything. And you know, God was so awesome. There was a Christian girl who over the summer, she had, I don't know, gone to a church, Potter's House or something, they preached to her, and she gave her life to Christ. So in the second year in university, you move out of campus and you need to share a house. And she was one of the people that shared a house with me. So me and her just kind of rolled together in university. So it's like God sent me like a Christian person so that we both did our Christian thing together. And it was so amazing. You know, in university, we even did like a Christian concert, you know, because we weren't afraid to reflect our Christianity. So one of the things I just wanted to point out with that story is, when we talk about new creation, we are not Christians because we come to church. You cannot inherit salvation because your dad is a pastor. You cannot inherit salvation because, like me, I was brought up in church. Like Christianity, a new creation, is about having faith in Christ. And there's a scripture I'd like us to turn to. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 11. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 11. This scripture says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though, for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So, verse 9, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This often makes people think, when we go for outreach, we go to evangelize to people, and people say, well, I'm good. I give to charity. I don't swear. I don't drink. I don't smoke. But one thing when I was reading this yesterday, one thing that struck me is that Jesus didn't die for you because you were good. He said, whilst you were a sinner, So that means even when I wasn't even considering God, when I was really, really bad, Jesus had died for me then. For me, that's so amazing. So that's to know that this new creation that we have is a gift. And that's to, for us to encourage many of us as well, that, you know, where we feel unworthy sometimes, like, you know, when I knew that I'm going to teach this morning, some thoughts came to my mind that, hey, how can you be teaching? Did you read your Bible this morning? Did you pray yesterday? Yeah, you're going to go and teach. Do you know? The devil brings these things up. But, you know, I think God knows that you're trying. As long as you are trying. Is it good to read your Bible? Yes, you should. Don't be like me. Yes, you should. Sometimes I get tired, you know, with these kids. But it's just the devil tries to make you feel like it's something that you have to do that gets you your salvation. But that scripture that we read says that it's through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's just a paraphrasing. That is how we received salvation. So the second point I want to talk about this morning is, so after we've received salvation, we call ourselves Christians. What does that word Christian mean? Because that word, I think it came up in the book of Acts, where they saw some of the disciples, and they were like, they named them and said, oh, these are Christians, because they are Christ-like. So my second point is, so if we are a new creation, we are changed. And my point here, what I wrote down here is, when we come to Christ, we are married to Him. So we have to be in relationship with Him, just like a marriage. Okay? Now, for those of us who are married, I don't know, how many of us would like a marriage where maybe the husband woke up and didn't say good morning to the wife? Or the wife woke up, she didn't say good morning to the husband, or didn't speak to the husband or wife. So if we're in a relationship with Christ, then we need to spend time with Him. And I have some scriptures here I'd like to read. So just to emphasize, the second point is that once we're a new creation, we become married to Christ. And that's interesting, because when we read the scriptures, God often refers to the church as His bride. So we need to know that we are married to Christ. And the next scripture I'd like to read is in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 8 to 12. The scripture says here, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So I don't want to like focus too much, I think, on the sin there. Because another thing is, as someone said, I can wear the longest skirt. I can look holy and sanctimonious. I could walk like this, as someone said. But does that mean that I'm actually righteous? Does that mean I'm actually righteous? Can I ask you a question? Has anyone here ever gone a week without thinking a bad thought? Have you ever gone a week without thinking a bad thought? If you have, God, you need to teach me. Have we? There's no one here that is righteous. None. It is only Jesus. So when we talk about sin, and I think I learned this from Pastor Benson. I think before I started sitting under Pastor Benson's teaching, I used to think that these things are sin. I used to think that, oh, the sin is smoking, fornication, and all of that. All of that is sin. But it's a bit deeper than that, because the Bible says that even if you think it in your heart, that's even sin. So that's why I asked any of us, have you ever not thought a bad thought? So if you can think a bad thought already, you're qualified as unrighteous. And it's only Jesus that can be unrighteous. And what that scripture says is that for many of us who might have done baptism, is when we did our baptism, we made a public kind of announcement. When we went under that water and came up, we said we died with Christ and we rose up with Christ. So when we're married to Christ, we need to kind of become more Christ-like. And it's a daily thing. It doesn't happen overnight. So one of the other things that I wanted to point out as well is that if we're married to Christ, then that means we have the same authority as Christ. I'd like us to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. So that scripture says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. That's Romans. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. I wrote it here. Thank you very much. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7, it says, we are made alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So one of the other benefits that we have through this new creation is that a lot of times we think that, oh, the main thing of being saved is, oh, I'm saved, now I'm going to go to heaven, I don't want to go to hell. Yeah, that's part of it, but when we are married to Christ, we are given the same authority as Jesus. So that means you can walk in dominion in this life. So a lot of us, because we live in a modern world, we tend to think that the spiritual world doesn't exist. But let me tell you, the spiritual world does exist. There is God and then there's another world. I remember on YouTube recently, and I know you've got to be careful what you watch on YouTube. There's a lady that I follow on Instagram, because she used to be an ex-witch, and she showed something that happened in someone's garden. So this person in their garden, I think they had maybe like dead squirrels or dead, you know, birds and stuff like that. And I don't know, some of us in our gardens, we have cameras and we have lights. Some people have cameras. So the neighbor just one day played the camera, and you would not believe what she saw on her footage. She saw like two women who were doing like witchcraft stuff, and they were eating the dead animals in 2023. And when I saw that, I said, my goodness. You know, sometimes we think, like me from West Africa, I think maybe the witches are there. But let me tell you, there are things happening. And as Christians, you know, you don't know this. When you go out to Asda, to the shops, they know who you are. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. They know that you carry Jesus, I'm telling you. And I used to get scared sometimes when my kids go out and stuff like that. But I was like, why am I being fearful? They are children of the Most High God, the angels of the Lord. The Bible said the angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear him. So this, I don't know, my mind just went to a little boy there. If he goes to nursery and any witch wants to put anything in their cereal, what does the Bible say? That if you eat poison, it won't do anything to you. Let me tell you, because you carry the author of the whole universe in you. So this scripture reminds us that we are married to Christ. When we have salvation, we have authority in Christ. So you don't need to worry about, they said, oh, someone has been single for 10 years. His father was single for 10 years. His father, generational curse. Let me tell you, once you become a Christian, it stops at you. Maybe you're single because it ain't yet your time. Yeah? They say, oh, this person, oh, that's how they are in their family. They never get good job, this and that. Hello? What happened to Joseph? Joseph went to prison before he was exalted. You have God in you. And I wanted to just encourage us this morning that you have the supernatural power in you. And that's what Pastor Benson was saying last Sunday as well, that when you have salvation, God has given you the power to have spiritual gifts as well, things like speaking in tongues, etc. I just want to move to my next point because I can speak for England and we don't have much time. So that's the second point. We need to know that we are married with Christ. And if we are joint with Christ, any authority he has, we have. So don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Yeah? There's some really strange things happening, I know, in Christendom. I have to say this, when I saw, don't worry, I don't spend all my time on YouTube, but I saw something so funny yesterday, I know I shouldn't laugh. So there was, I don't know, Pastor Benson, am I allowed to? There was basically, when we're married to Christ, you need to know that it's good we can go to Pastor Benson for prayers, but you can pray for yourself. Do you know that you can pray for yourself? The prayer that Pastor Benson prays for you and the prayer you pray for yourself, is it any different? Because you have the power of God in you. There was this man online, and he was telling women, well, I'm thinking it's women, but nowadays, you know, he was telling them that if they're looking, you know, unto God for a child or something, that they should come to the service with a baby doll with money sellotaped on the baby doll. I was like, where have we got to in these times we're living in? But you know what is so sad? Some people, you know, have no fault for them because life has dealt them blows, will go to that. But the Bible already says that none is barren in the land. You understand? We already have at the right time. So that's why it's very important that we need to know who we are in Christ. Sorry, I just wanted to share that because that's the, I don't want to use the word crazy, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen advertised. And to think people are actually going to do that. Then the third point I wanted to talk about is, you know, once we're a new creation, I already touched on this already, our salvation should produce spiritual growth. So once we are saved, our salvation should produce spiritual growth. And I'd like us to read Romans chapter 7, verse 5. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. And it says, for when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what was once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. One of the things that I wanted to highlight there is, you know, I've read the scripture many times. It says in that verse 6, in the last part of it, it says so that we can serve in the new way of the Spirit. So that sentence makes me understand that, like, God wants us to manifest in spiritual gifts as a service to his body. And if you remember, at the beginning of this month, we watched the teaching from the headquarters that talked about that this church is not the kind of church where Pastor Benson actually wants to be the one that's doing everything. You might think that, what am I? I'm unworthy. Does Pastor Benson know what I did in my school days? If he knew, he would even call me to come and lead prayer. But this church understands that God has called everyone. And we need to stop that thinking. Because remember what the scripture said. He said, whilst you were smoking, whilst you were, you know, jiving in a club, that's when God died for you. He didn't die for you when you were righteous. So you are qualified. And all of us need to know that actually, when we're saved, it's not just to pray to God for things. God wants us to have good things, houses and all those things, you know. But God wants us to manifest in a spiritual growth. And this often crosses my mind that when we read the Bible, how can we read about stories where, like, people like Paul who prosecuted Christians, People like doubting Thomas. Thomas was walking with Jesus. He didn't even believe in Jesus. He was doubting. People that were squabbling with Jesus. Jesus, who's going to sit on your right-hand side? Who's on your left-hand side? People like Peter, who was angry. God used all these kind of people who we don't think are perfect, but he used them and they did miraculous things. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone here, but they said Peter, his shadow. Do you know shadow? They said his shadow healed the sick. There was so many miracles that they did. You know, there was someone who had been ill, I think, at the Beautiful Gate for years. He just said, get up and walk, and the man started walking. They did miraculous things. So why is the church not manifesting in this way? And I think this is my personal belief. I believe we think that only certain people can operate. Only the pastor, only the apostle. Who am I? I just play the keyboard. Hello. I'm not here to. But we have the power in us. But you see how God is. The Bible says it's faith in Christ. If you believe, you will manifest. I remember there was a testimony in headquarters. I think it was, there's a pastor, Pastor Roger. He said he was doing evangelism and he came across someone who doesn't understand English. And immediately, God gave him the language of that person. Can you imagine that? He began to speak in the language. God is still working, and all of us here, we are all going to get ready for this work. And I don't know how God wants to use you. It could be in your university. It could be in fish ponds. It could be, you know, it doesn't matter if you're an usher, you're in a choir. God wants to use every one of us for his purpose, for his kingdom. So that's my third point. When we're a new creation, we need to know that our salvation should produce spiritual growth. I also have another scripture here. Okay. It's not a scripture. Okay. I just wanted to talk about a few people. Like, you know why I love the Bible and why I love Jesus? Jesus is not like human beings. Like, Jesus always sees the good in people. Jesus always uses people that the world will call unqualified. I wrote a few names of people here just to encourage us, and there's loads more, obviously, in the Bible. And this got me thinking when an apostle said something in his teaching. Apostle said that when he reads the Bible, sometimes he skips the part of the Bible where it says, and this begat that, and this begat that. Has anyone read that Bible where they talk about like 60 names of who gave birth to who? And he just asked God one day that, God, why is all this like in the Bible? And God said it's important because God wants to show that there's some people who you think are unworthy who is in a lineage of Jesus. And one of the people that's in the lineage of Jesus was Rahab. Rahab probably thought, well, I'm just a prostitute. Let me come do my thing. But Rahab won the city of Jericho for Joshua. Then the other story that came to me, and this was because Brother Ore during the week. Is it Brother Ore? Or maybe the 2 weeks. You talk about Samuel, didn't you? Samuel came from a lady who for many years she was, well, God, it says, the Bible says God closed her womb. And Samuel was just a little boy who was given to the house of God. So this little boy doesn't know anything. He probably thinks, oh, well, I'm just here doing my thing. I'm trying to learn. Eli, he's a priest. God probably speaks to him. Eli's sons, they attend to the temple. God probably will use them. But in the Bible, it says one day God was calling him. And he was like, he kept on going to the priest. He said, I can hear voices. And then Eli said, figured out that it's actually God speaking to him. And he said, next time, I'm paraphrasing, the voice speaks to say, here I am. And the Bible said that in that time that they lived in, it said God had not spoken to a prophet for like years. And I feel many of us are like Samuel. We're like Samuel, like, well, Pastor Benson is there. Sister Remy is there, leave me. You know, there's some people, but we're like Samuel. God is speaking to us. We're like, God cannot possibly speak into me, but God is. And we need to know that God doesn't care about your background. He doesn't care like how long you've been saved or degree. God wants to use anyone that makes themselves available. So that's just to encourage us. And I have so many other names in the Bible, but we can read them in our own time. There's Gideon. There's so many others. So because of time, I'll move on. So I think that was the third point, wasn't it? So far we've said, I go to my bottom. When we talk about new creation, we need to know, number one, we are justified through faith in Christ, not because we were born into a Christian family or because our father's a pastor. Then the second thing is that once we are a new creation, we need to know that we are married to Christ. So therefore, if we're married to Christ, we have to walk with him. We need to strive to be like him. And we need to know the same authority that Christ has, we also have. And the third point was that we are not just saved so we can go to heaven. When we have salvation, we should produce spiritual growth. And one of the things that hinders our growth, sometimes we think we are unworthy or God could not possibly use us like Samuel. And then the fourth thing that I want to close with is that, just to encourage us. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, this Christianity thing. Man, I beg. Sorry, for some of you don't know what that means. That means like, please give me a break. This Christianity thing, give me a break. Am I the one who killed Jesus? People always say that, but yes, you are the one who killed Jesus because he died for you. But you're like, give me a break. Ugh, no. But you know what? It's actually easy. And it's something I will never forget. This kind of changed my thought the more. So I remember Apostle mentioned something. Apostle, the problem with, I think, there's no problem with Christianity. The problem's with us. We feel like there's too many restrictions. We feel like there's so many control, okay? You mustn't do this. You mustn't do this. You mustn't do that. But Apostle made a statement. Apostle said, actually, you are already being controlled and you don't know it. If I ask you, why did you wear this top and that trouser? Why did you wear those shoes? Why didn't you just come here in your pajamas? Why didn't you come to church this morning in your pajamas? Who said you can't come to church in your pajamas? Because society says there's a way, isn't it? Pajamas are for the house. You need to come looking decent. You need to wear shoes. Why didn't you come, leave your shoes at home? Why didn't you come to church without your shoes? Why did you brush your hair? So Apostle made a statement that we are already being controlled. There's two forces in the world that rule the universe. It's either the devil or God. Either one is controlling you. You understand? Well, it's not controlling us in Jesus' name. So we are already influenced. That was my point. You're already influenced. Why can't you just go out and buy any car? Why are so many brands? Because we are influenced by things. So we are already being controlled. So Jesus is not trying to do anything that's different. Actually, he's trying to help you. If you're not following Jesus by default, you're being controlled by the devil. If you're not going with God by default, you're being controlled. And that's why we sometimes feel Christianity is restricted, because we feel, well, I want to dictate what I want to do. But actually, you're not dictating what you want to do. The world is. You're just succumbing to what the world. We are all under control. So I'd rather be under the control of Jesus. So the last point is saying that God has supplied all we need to live a godly life. So sometimes we feel that, honestly, this prayer thing, I don't think I can do it. This reading the Bible is so boring. But 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, God has supplied everything we need for life and everything we need for godliness. Yeah, God has supplied it. Sometimes, does it happen to anyone when you want to pray? That's when you feel tired? No, it's not happened to anyone. But then when you feel tired, you know what? Just pray anyway. And you'll see that as you start praying, it's like the Holy Spirit just keeps on bringing prayer point. You just keep on bringing strength. And even when, if the devil says, oh, Don't read your Bible. Just watch that next series on Netflix. Just open your Bible and read it. You'll see that the Holy Spirit will keep nudging you. So all you need to do is take the step. The Holy Spirit's already been sent to us to help us. So don't worry in your Christian faith. And don't feel guilty. I tell you, this used to happen to me. Like I told you how I felt this morning. That how can I come and preach when? Did I read my Bible? God is not taking a register. God is looking at your heart. And you know how I know that? Everyone always uses this as a cliche, but the Bible says David is a man after his heart. And David is someone who took someone else's wife and planned someone's death. Does that sound like someone's after God's heart? But one thing about David, he was always honest with God and said, God, look, help me. You are my defender. I feel that's the place that God wants us to. When I hear that David is a man after God's heart, I see that as he's someone that's always chasing after God's heart. He's always like, God, you know what? I didn't pray yesterday. I feel tired, but this is a new day. God, forgive me. Here I am. I'm ready. That's how we need to be. And God is going to give us the grace. Yeah, I just want to end with that today. So we've been looking at new creation. And just to summarize again, we need to know that we can never do anything to qualify for the grace of Jesus Christ. It's just having faith in Jesus. Second thing we need to know is that if we are really saved, then we need to know we are married with Christ. So we need to be Christ. We need to try and be Christ-like. And we need to know we have the same authority that Jesus has. And also as well, Jesus doesn't want us to just be Christians that are just waiting to just go to heaven. He wants us to manifest his power on the earth. He wants us to manifest his powers on the earth and take dominion and win souls for his kingdom. And lastly, if you feel like you're struggling in your Christian life and you feel guilty, don't be guilty. Just be like David and always run back to God. Always run back to God. God is a loving Father. Always run back to God. So this morning, we're just going to end this teaching this morning. It's still morning. We're just rising up if you can. If you're tired, you can stay seated. Let's rise up. Nobody can hear your prayer this morning. It's between you and God. Are you struggling in your prayer life? Are you struggling in your love towards God? Maybe when you first got saved, you were excited about God, but now you hardly have time with God. Sometimes the things of God is boring to you. Your love for God has gone cold. But Jesus is saying, don't worry. He's always waiting. Jesus is not judging you this morning. Just lift up your heart to God this morning and say, God, help me. I thank you because your word said you have supplied everything I need in this life and my godly life. Ask Holy Spirit to help you. Ask God for strength this morning to be married to Christ. Like we said, we're not just saved to go to heaven. We are saved for a season, for a time like this. You are saved for certain people in your family. They need to hear about God. You are saved. There's some people in your workplace. They need to hear about God. There's some people in your community. They need to hear. You are chosen by God. And God has given you everything that you need. God help us. God help us. We thank you, Lord, because you live in us. The Bible says that we are his building. We are his temple. And thank you, God, because you want to manifest your power and presence through us in these times where people are hopeless, where people need to hear the truth. Thank you, God, because there are many Samuels in this room this morning. Many Samuel. God is speaking to you. You just need to tell God this morning, here I am, like Samuel, speak, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I'm not going to look down on myself anymore. I'm not going to think I'm unworthy anymore. I'm not going to let the devil guilt trip me. I'm not anymore. I walk out of here knowing who I am in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those who have created. You took away my guilt and shame when you died and rose again. Now today you reign, and heaven and earth exalted. I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have won my heart and I am yours. Forever and ever, I will love you. You are the only one who died for me, gave your life to set me free. So I lift my voice in adoration. Oh Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, because you're a loving God. You're God who came and paid the price for us, just like that song said. And we thank you that you reminded us in your word this morning that we are the ones that you are calling. We are the ones that you have chosen. And that you want to use us, that you want to work through us in these last days that we're living in. Help us to see ourselves in the way you see us, oh God. We thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.